Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to our continuing coverage of the COVID-19 crisis. I'm Bill Price, keeping the faith in these uncertain times.
We'd have many Easters together in the future.
That is where we're going to start this Good Friday as millions of us get set to celebrate Easter this weekend. The COVID-19 health crisis continues to weigh heavily.
My prayer would be that we would not pass through this difficult pandemic that we're going through right now without experiencing some kind of transformation.
That's Pastor Paul Perdue in Belmont, Tennessee. He is live streaming Easter services this weekend, but some states are allowing large church gatherings, even though the health experts say that's a safety risk. Author and pastor Jonathan Morris says there are a lot of parallels between the Easter message and this health crisis.
There's no Easter Sunday if there's not a Good Friday, right? And we all want miracles, right? We all love the miracle of the resurrection, Easter Sunday. But that doesn't make sense if there wasn't suffering first.
And we're suffering now. Pastor Morris says this health crisis can turn into a huge blessing. And what better time to realize that blessing than this weekend?
This year, maybe like no other year, we're able to pray in solitude and quiet. And I think it could be the best Good Friday and Easter Sunday that we've ever had.
Besides praying, a lot of churches are feeding their communities this Easter weekend with so many folks out of work because of the crisis. Ken Foreman is a pastor in San Jose, California.
There's just a great need right now in our area.
Foreman says cars stretching for miles outside his church with families in desperate need of food this Easter weekend. And on this Good Friday, correspondent Robert Berger says the scene is eerily quiet in Jerusalem.
The narrow cobblestone alleyways of the Via Dolorosa here in Jerusalem's old city are deserted this Good Friday. Normally, thousands of pilgrims would be retracing the footsteps of Jesus to the 14 stations of the cross. But Israel has banned public gatherings due to the coronavirus. Here at the 7th station, the chapel is closed.
That's Robert Berger reporting from Jerusalem. The coronavirus death toll in the U.S. has more than doubled in just a week. More than 16,000 have now died from the disease. The death rate continues to rise in the nation's epicenter in New York, but hospitalizations are going down. Governor Andrew Cuomo says social distancing, the reason why.
You stay at home and you save a life. Period. Stay at home and you save a life.
The governor now launching a new online form where folks can go to report those violating social distancing rules in New York. In Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love is becoming the new hotspot for COVID-19. Councilman Daryl Clark says the virus is hitting the African-American community especially hard.
You look at all of the structural issues around all of these health care inequalities, all of these lower income jobs. It tends to impact individuals in neighborhoods of color a lot more than it does in other neighborhoods.
Clark says those of color also tend to be on the front lines of the coronavirus fight, leaving them exposed to the disease.
We have individuals that are working in these jobs in retail and supermarkets and stores around. Those people have to deal with the public on a consistent basis.
Yesterday, Governor Tom Wolf ordered all schools in Pennsylvania to shut down for the rest of the academic school year. In Washington, D.C., President Trump expected to announce the formation of another coronavirus task force. This one will be in charge of reopening the country.
This would focus on how you get the economy back up and running once the worst of this pandemic is over. But for right now, both parties agree that more financial relief is needed. They just can't agree on how much. The Republican-controlled Senate tried to pass an additional $250 billion in small business loans, but Democrats want double that amount. They want to include money for food stamp programs, hospitals, and state and local governments.
That's Ben Tracy reporting from Washington. Officials say expanding COVID-19 testing will be key to reopening parts of the country. Dr. David Agus is a professor of medicine at USC. He says testing alone, though, is not enough for those who've already gotten sick.
We need to do social tracing. That is, we need the ability, if you do test positive, to go back and say, who did you interact with over the past few days? Because those people need to be kept at home.
Earlier this week, the CDC announced new guidelines allowing essential workers exposed to COVID-19 to return to work. The White House says 125,000 tests are being done daily in the U.S. Well, with theme parks and just about everything else shut down this Easter weekend, the tourism industry in Florida has taken a huge hit. Here's correspondent Chris Van Cleef.
Disney World and area beaches are closed. So are restaurants and bars. Some hotels have shut down.
It's really devastating, especially for a very small inn like mine.
Carol Ballard's Thurston House Bed and Breakfast hasn't had a guest in 3 weeks. Her next booking is in November.
That's Chris Van Cleef reporting from Florida. Universal Orlando saying today it will not reopen its parks until May 31st. At the earliest, nearly a year after a fire all but destroyed France's Notre Dame Cathedral, today the 13th century House of Worship hosted a brief Good Friday service. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, only seven people took part in that ceremony today inside the famed Notre Dame. Still to come this Friday, funeral homes swamped in New York, state parks busy in Pennsylvania, and rethinking Easter.
Well, good afternoon to all. A little taste of winter across our region today. Changeable weather for the weekend, though, will include some sun and some rain. I'll be back with forecast details for your Easter weekend coming up. See you in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams, looking more like Christmas out there than Easter in a lot of places. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York, in Pennsylvania, Good Friday, April 10th. The head of the New York State Funeral Directors Association says funeral homes are getting double the number of bodies they usually would because of COVID-19.
Starting to see people, you know, working 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. on a regular basis.
Mike Linotti says a lot of funeral homes across the Empire State simply cannot keep up with the number of deaths.
Definitely a backlog when it comes to being able to take a deceased into the care of the funeral home.
The New York City Medical Examiner's Office is now telling families that a body will be held for just 14 days and then buried in a mass grave on Hart Island outside of the Big Apple. That's a spot the city uses for unclaimed remains.
I've had reports from funeral directors that it already is happening.
Burial operations on that island have reportedly increased to 5 days a week during the pandemic. The Monroe County, New York Health Commissioner says they could still be weeks away from seeing the peak of COVID-19.
It's really more calm before the storm here in Monroe County.
That's Dr. Michael Mendoza. He says the greater Rochester region could be seeing the worst of this virus at the end of this month.
To the extent that we can continue with social distancing, we will push off the spike. Ideally, we push it up long enough that it's not actually a spike, but really more of a hump or a speed bump. The spike is what happens when you, you know, throw your hands up and stop social distancing.
Dr. Mendoza says what we do today will dictate where we are later this month in terms of this health crisis. It is Friday, but a lot of folks aren't getting paid today. Gus Dolan says he used to drive buses, but with no one traveling anymore, his job has been cut.
How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to pay that bill? When are we going to get back to work?
Now, this laid-off worker says life doesn't get any easier just because you don't have a job.
The bills don't stop. The electric doesn't stop. The water doesn't stop.
It puts fear in you for sure.
Last night, a new website went live in New York to help process the hundreds of thousands of unemployment claims being filed in the state. Over 1,000 people have now been hired in the unemployment application process in New York. After Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf ordered schools to close for the rest of the academic year yesterday, a lot of education officials now wondering if New York State won't soon follow suit.
I believe would be the best decision for all schools to be closed for the remainder of this year in New York State.
Larry Scott sits on the Board of Education in Buffalo.
The risk is just too great for me to believe that we could return safely by the end of the school year.
I think it's just still a little too early.
Mark Lori is school superintendent in Niagara Falls.
I may be the eternal optimist, but I think it's still a little too early. And the inevitable may come. I think it's too early to make that call now. When might that be? I would think by the middle of May.
Lori says he likes the fact that Governor Cuomo is closing school in 2-week increments instead of all at once. He says that gives the state and the students more flexibility.
I think it gives us hope. It really keeps task tension on students to keep up with their work.
The Regents this June has already been canceled in New York State, which many educators now say makes it easier to just cancel the rest of the academic school year. Outdoor agencies in Pennsylvania asking folks to stay close to home and stay away from each other this weekend. Enforcing that, however, a totally different matter. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
That's the message that emerged in a joint press conference held Thursday by the Pennsylvania Department of Natural Resources and the Fish and Boat Commission, as multiple reporters from all parts of the state noted the extensive travel being done by some recreationists despite a stay-at-home order from Governor Tom Wolf. Reporters from media in northeastern Pennsylvania pointed out that camps there are packed and many out-of-state license plates can be seen on vehicles parked at those camps. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Families across our listening area are now rethinking their Easter plans because of COVID-19.
Our Easter celebration is the whole family. It's at my house. A lot of food. Everyone's here. It's an all-day celebration.
But with large gatherings banned this Easter, Jessica George from Albion, New York, says she's been forced to scale back.
We really wanted to maintain some form of normalcy for my daughter and have her not feel like everything that she knows is gone.
Ontario County Public Health Director Mary Beer says this Easter should be an intimate one with your family and with the hope that better days lie ahead.
There will be a time to celebrate. And this Easter represents a time of a lot of sorrow, but then of great joy. We will have time to be joyous eventually, but not right now. Please stay home.
A lot of Easter services on Sunday will be streamed online. As for Jessica George, she hopes to celebrate soon.
We're going to celebrate everything all at once when everything's over. So Easter, birthdays that we're missing, potentially Mother's Day if we're missing that as well.
It's been a tough year for sure for a lot of folks. Officials say the best thing you can do this Easter weekend is to protect yourself and the ones you love until this crisis is finally over. Hole in none. Governor Cuomo has shut down all golf courses in the state, deeming them non-essential businesses. That means the only birdies and eagles golfers will see is at the park. The shutdown will last through the end of April. Some out-of-this-world support for the Southern Tier from retired NASA astronaut and Elmira, New York native Eileen Collins.
In this very difficult time that we're going through right now, it's so important that we support one another.
Collins says the COVID-19 health crisis reminds her of another crisis to hit the Southern Tier, the flood of 72.
Although there's differences between what we're going through now and the big flood back in 1972, I also think that there's some similarities. And the big one is that we're going to get through this and we need to support each other.
That is true. Collins says she believes all of us will come out of this crisis stronger than what we've ever been. Let's pause for sports this Good Friday. Send it on over to Sonny. It's called your two-minute drill.
Thank you, Bill. Let's start with some football news. Brandon Cooks is on the move again after the Rams agreed to trade the wide receiver and a fourth-round pick to the Texans in exchange for a second-round pick. Houston will be the fourth team for Cooks in his sixth-year NFL career after stints with New Orleans and New England before the Rams. Cooks will try to help the Texans replace DeAndre Hopkins, who was shockingly traded to Arizona last month for running back David Johnson and two draft picks. Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow and Ohio State edge rusher Chase Young among 58 prospects who will participate remotely in the NFL draft next week. LSU will have 8 players taking part in the April 23rd through 25th draft, one more than Alabama. One of those Alabama prospects, quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, held a workout that will be sent to all 32 NFL teams as the draft prospect attempts to alleviate any fears over his surgically repaired hip. The former Alabama star threw 75 passes in his virtual pro day. It's on The Game of Horse, the tournament on ESPN, featuring Chris Paul and Trae Young of the NBA. The WNBA will be represented by athletes like legendary player Tamika Catchings. Retired NBA players include Paul Pierce, who will look to show off their skills. ESPN will air the first round 7 o'clock Sunday. The finals show next Thursday at 9. Blake Snell, Juan Soto, and Bo Bichette among the baseball stars. Switching over to PlayStation with America's Pastime on hold. 30 big leaguers, one from each team, have signed on to play a round-robin regular season on Major League Baseball, the show video game. And Forbes is releasing the annual list of Major League Baseball franchise valuations. The New York Yankees remain the top dog. The 27-time World Series champions are valued at $5 billion, up 9% from last year. They're followed by the Los Angeles Dodgers, Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs, and San Francisco Giants. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Great job as usual. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Friday, the similarities between this crisis and the cross. Family Life's Tracy Lynn speaks with a local pastor, plus celebrating Good Friday at Notre Dame 1 year after that fire. And at the end of today's broadcast, coronavirus testing, horse and buggy style.
One word you could use to sum up the scriptures from beginning to end, but especially in the Old Testament, remember. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. It doesn't happen every year, but this year it did. Yesterday, Maundy Thursday, fell on the first full day of the Jewish Passover. Now, what makes this an especially poignant convergence is that the meal we remember each and every Maundy Thursday, which the disciples shared with Jesus on the Thursday of Holy Week, was the Passover Seder. The roots of the Christian faith are, of course, Jewish. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the Father of Jesus. Of course, followers of Jesus are no longer bound to the Old Testament requirements to observe Passover. In fact, Jesus himself replaced the command for God's people to observe Passover with what he called a new command, to remember his body broken for us and his blood shed for us. Still, there's so much beauty here in the Passover. As a Jew, Jesus would have celebrated Passover diligently each and every year of his life. All Israelites were to remember and celebrate how God delivered the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. When the angel of death, seeing the lamb's blood on their doorpost, passed over Israel and plagued the Egyptians, 400 years of bondage came to an end. Immediately, even as the original Exodus was still unfolding, God instituted its remembrance. On the night before God sent the angel of death, he commanded Moses, "Celebrate this feast." God tells him in Exodus 12, "And when your children ask what you're doing, tell them what I did for you." One of our worst faults, as God knows certainly, is that we are very forgetful creatures. Our memories are at best selective and at worst untrustworthy. So much of the Old Testament just reads like a bad deja vu. God delivers his people from thirst or hunger or their enemies, and they quickly forget. It's almost like the Old Testament authors simply copied and pasted this phrase. The people of Israel grumbled against the Lord who brought them out of Egypt over and over again. The Passover gave flesh to the spiritual discipline of remembering. By remembering, observers are brought into the pain of slavery so that they can experience more fully the shock and sweetness of their freedom. Passover also points us to a Savior who brings that freedom. The lamb shank bone on the Seder plate is a reminder of the lamb without blemish, whose blood the Israelites painted on their doorpost as a sign to the angel of death to pass over their houses. The first time John the Baptist saw Jesus as an adult, he yelled, kind of shockingly really, "Behold the Lamb of God." The Apostle Paul called Jesus Christ our Passover Lamb in 1 Corinthians. And Jesus, of course, knew that in breaking the matzah and calling in his body and in drinking the cup and calling in a new covenant, he was translating to onlookers that he himself is the true Passover Lamb, the one without blemish, whose blood would save all of those who painted on the doorpost of their own lives. We are just as forgetful as the fathers of our faith were in the deserts outside of Egypt, especially in times of crisis like these. And that's why it's so important we remember intentionally the times God has delivered us from our spiritual Egypts and, of course, from eternal death. Today, Good Friday, is an especially good day to remember that God's faithfulness isn't just an emotional salve during our times of distress, but by the blood of Christ, our sin is forgiven. Our guilt is taken away. This week on a special Breakpoint podcast, Shane Morris and I do some remembering. In fact, we remember and discuss the very best Breakpoint commentaries by Chuck Colson on the topics of Good Friday and Easter Resurrection Sunday. It's at breakpoint.org or wherever you download your podcast. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour, Friday afternoon, the Easter weekend is here.
Well, good afternoon to all, and a happy Easter weekend. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, winter-like look and feel to our weather pattern today will give way to high pressure, which will clear the skies and set the stage for a more pleasant day for tomorrow, before a disturbance brings a little rain on Easter Sunday, and a powerhouse storm threatens heavier rains, rumbles of thunder and wind come Monday. For this afternoon, blustery and cold. Variably cloudy skies, a few scattered showers of wet snow and rain, and a few sunny breaks as well. High temperatures mid-30s to the mid-40s. For tonight, it'll turn out partly cloudy, diminishing winds, low temps 20s and low 30s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, with a high in the 40s. Easter Sunday is cloudy with a bit of rain and a high temperature in the 50s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here is the very latest on the COVID-19 health crisis for this Good Friday, April 10th. New York State has now reported more cases of the coronavirus than any other country in the world. Let that sink in for a moment. And while there's been some improvement in the epicenter of New York City, Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the military is still sending in hundreds of doctors and nurses
to help those local hospital workers who've been struggling mightily to keep on top of the cases, help them out, provide some additional relief from the Department of Defense.
Even with some numbers flattening out, the experts say folks cannot get complacent.
So even though we're in a holiday season, now is no time to back off. As I say so often, now is the time to actually put your foot on the accelerator, because we're going in the right direction.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is the leading expert on infectious diseases in these United States. He says Americans need to follow strict social distancing guidelines right on through this Easter weekend. You can do it, folks. Fauci says what we do today will determine how quickly this crisis is over. In Paris, Notre Dame has held its first Good Friday Mass since last year's fire. Correspondent Elaine Cobb was there.
There was just a handful of people inside the cathedral to celebrate the Good Friday service, but it was broadcast live so that Catholics across France could join in. Leading the service, the Archbishop of Paris said it was a message of hope at this time of resurrection, that life is stronger than death. Some of those following it on TV admitted they wanted to see how the cathedral looks now, hoping it too will rise again.
That's Elaine Cobb reporting from Notre Dame this Good Friday. Coming up on 24 minutes past the hour, next at noon, the significance of this weekend to the Christian faith. Family Life's Tracy Lynn recently sat down with Pastor Tim Mabry at Tea Free Church in Titusville, Pennsylvania, to get some perspective amid the COVID-19 health crisis. Let's listen in.
We're celebrating today is Good Friday, and this is Holy Week for Christians. It's such an important time, a foundational time to our faith. But I know there are some people that are listening who really don't know this aspect of Easter. Would you tell us a little bit about Good Friday and Easter and why it's so important?
So I think every one of us, whether we're Christians or not, there are some ultimate questions that we're always facing. Everybody loves life. Life is good. But we all recognize that there's something wrong, something that isn't just right. And so as Christians, we would say that thing that isn't right, the thing that makes the world seem wrong, is sin. So I think we're in this great opportunity now in what we're experiencing to get a picture of what sin is with the coronavirus. So we say that on Good Friday, that Jesus died for the sins of the world. So maybe you could imagine Jesus taking on the coronavirus of the entire world, so that everywhere it is and everybody that has it, and And let's suppose that the coronavirus does become not just pandemic, but endemic, meaning everybody gets it. So that one way or another, it's going to be the death of everybody, which is exactly what sin is. So sin's this infection, everybody gets it, and it's going to be the death of everybody. So imagine Jesus taking on this coronavirus, and not only does he take everybody's virus, but he feels the accumulated effects of that. He feels the weight of that, the pain of that. And I want to say it's particularly appropriate because the coronavirus becomes a respiratory problem. And this is exactly how Jesus dies on the cross. His body collapses in on his lungs and he suffocates. And he doesn't just suffer physically. He has this social distancing thing going on, too. Like, he's separated from, well, everyone. He's lifted up from the earth, and he's separated from everyone. But he also feels this separation from his Father. So he cries out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So the virus causes the separation that we're experiencing now. And that same way, when Jesus takes on the sins of the world, it causes separation from the Father. And he feels the pain of that.
Yes, a refreshing analogy in that it hits home and it relates so well with what we're facing.
So usually we want to jump right from Friday to Sunday, but Saturday is a really important day. Like the gospel, that's the good news, what Jesus did. But the good news is not just that he died and rose, but that he died, was buried, and rose. So like if we just stayed with that virus analogy, let's say Jesus takes on the entire virus of the entire world, and he just doesn't take it on, but he buries it. So he takes it down like into the grave. Metaphorically, we would think like he takes it down into the depths of the earth. He takes it somewhere where it's not retrievable again. So like he buries the virus. And this is what Jesus does with our sin. Like he buries our sin. Can you imagine a world that is totally free of this virus and infection? So that's what happens. Jesus buries the sin. And then on Sunday, there's this resurrection. It's almost like he's created an immunity to death. He doesn't just resuscitate it and walk around, but he completely destroys death. So he builds up this immunity to death. And that transfers to us. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the resurrection. When we put our faith in Jesus, then we get this immunity from death. We still die physically, but we experience the same resurrection and we experience the same life. So that sin and death, this is the way we Christians say it, sin and death no longer have power over us. And that's what we mean by immunity, right? The virus no longer has power over us.
What would you say, Pastor, maybe to the people who say, but I've been good. I have done all I can to wipe out this virus, right? I have worn my face mask, my face shield. I have sanitized all the surfaces. I have been a good person in my life. What about for those folks?
That's pretty great. So I've been good. And when I went to bed last night, I didn't feel real well. And I was actually scared because I realized no matter how careful I've been, stayed home, done all the right things, I felt a little sick last night. And so honest, I was a little like, oh, man, what if, you know? So it's like no matter how careful we are, and it's good to be careful. Everyone should be being as careful as they can.
Sure.
There's just not this guarantee. We still can fall victim to it. And we have this false conception. It's really not about being good enough or not being good enough. It really is about who do you line yourself up with? I'm saying, I think this man, Jesus, I think he's the king of the world. So I'm just staking it all on him.
Of course, this Easter Sunday will be very unusual around the globe. It's a time for reflection. And because of the self-isolation, yeah, people are able to do that. Are there some ways that you know people will be celebrating? What will you be doing at your church? What are some things people can do as they're in their living room at home?
We're doing just what most churches are doing. We're doing a live stream. Our governor in Pennsylvania has given the stay-at-home orders. So like we thought about doing this drive-in church, having people pull in the parking lot and such. And so we thought about that for about 2 minutes. And then the governor said, you know what, just stay home. So we want to honor that. So we're going to continue to live stream. And our live stream is a genuine live stream. I love the fact that even though we're not in real space together, we're in real time together. When I'm looking at the camera, I am looking into these living rooms, like I'm picturing the people in our congregation that I love and know. And so it's kind of like when Jesus rose from the dead, people didn't come out in the streets. I can imagine the first Christians just just having these rejoicing times celebrating in their home.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going
to
do.
Anything else you'd like to share about Easter, about Good Friday, about our perspective on life and why this is such a special time?
Everything hangs on this. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, either he did or he didn't rise from the dead. And if he did, then he's the answer to the question, what's wrong in the world and how do we fix it? He's the answer to how we fix it. Because we all got to deal with death, and he does. Whatever curse the world's been under since near the beginning of time, this is where it bounces. Jesus is undoing all the wrong that's been done. Celebrate that.
Celebrate that. Good stuff. Some timely perspective there from Pastor Tim Mabry at Tea Free Church in Titusville, Pennsylvania, as we head into this Easter weekend. Let's head into the Weather Center one more time before we leave you today. Kevin Williams.
Well, good afternoon to all, and a happy Easter weekend. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, winter-like look and feel to our weather pattern today will give way to high pressure, which will clear the skies and set the stage for a more pleasant day for tomorrow before a disturbance brings a little rain on Easter Sunday and a powerhouse storm threatens heavier rains, rumbles of thunder and wind come Monday. For this afternoon, blustery and cold. Variably cloudy skies, a few scattered showers of wet snow and rain, and a few sunny breaks as well. High temperatures mid-30s to the mid-40s. For tonight, it'll turn out partly cloudy. Diminishing winds, low temps 20s and low 30s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with a high in the 40s. Easter Sunday is cloudy with a bit of rain and a high temperature in the 50s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, finally this Friday, a drive-through coronavirus testing site in Pennsylvania is now accepting horse and buggies. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The small clinic in the central Pennsylvania town of Belleville is trying to be accommodating for its local Amish and Mennonite communities. Medical personnel at the clinic collect the swab samples before sending them to be processed at a lab. The crew has also developed a new way to test for the disease, which they say can detect the virus in asymptomatic carriers. Plus, their tests take 19 hours or less to process compared to most COVID-19 tests, which take about a week. The clinic's workers say they also take this time to educate the Amish and Mennonite communities who regularly hold large social gatherings about the importance of maintaining social distancing precautions as well as the importance of getting tested. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
We're all in this together. Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Friday. Have a safe and a happy Easter weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.